Thank you for downloading Producer's Pick from Sounds True, a podcast dedicated to bringing you moving, captivating, and intriguing selections from our programs. In this podcast, the producers at Sounds True have chosen a selection from a program they've worked on, which caught their attention as a unique or special moment in the recording process. This week's episode, Committing to Your Own Process, comes from the audio program, The Warrior Goddess Training Program, with Heather Ash Amara. Mitchell Klute was with Heather Ash in the Sounds True studio for this recording. Here's what Mitchell has to say about this week's producer's pick.
In this selection, Heather Ash shares how her warrior goddess training teachings emerged naturally from the circumstances of her own life, not from a time of ease, but from the pain and uncertainty of a difficult transition. It was only in this trying circumstance, she says, that she understood what it meant to be fully committed to self and to create within herself the resources of love, patience, and calm that we often look for from outside sources, our friends, our work, and especially our intimate partners. Commitment, she says, means staying with ourselves through the journey, not just during times of ease and joy, but through the challenges of change and transformation as well. By finding out what we really need, deep down, we begin to notice when we're off target and learn to course correct in the moment, staying focused on our goals without falling into blame or self-judgment.
You can download this entire program, the Warrior Goddess Training Program, at SoundsTrue.com. And now our producer's pick, Committing to Your Own Process, with Heather Ash Amara.
But first, I want to tell you a story about what I feel like was the seed of warrior goddess training, where warrior goddess training was born. And it was during a really difficult time in my life. I had just published my book, Toltec Path of Transformation, so it was the week that it was coming out. And that same week, my husband, business partner, lover, best friend, teaching partner moved out and moved to Colorado. And so it felt like this incredible birth after many years of working on the book, at the same time, the loss of this relationship that was really, really important to me. And I didn't know how I was going to manage. I had no idea how I was going to continue to hold the community, continue to teach, continue to tour, when I felt so raw and so devastated in my personal life. So one day I was standing in my house and I was weeping and feeling the loss of my beloved. And I could feel these two pathways, this pathway where I could continue to gather all the stories around how this was a horrible thing and how my life was ruined and how I was never going to find another love. And then this other path, and in this path, I heard this voice and it said, "What are you going to miss about him?" And in that choice point, I chose to turn towards that voice and that question, "What are you going to miss about him?" And it was said in such a soft, gentle way. So I said, what am I going to miss about him? So I started then going through all the things. And what I said to myself is, I'm going to miss his calm, his quiet, his love, his patience. And I said, okay, sweetie, how are you going to bring those things to yourself? And in that moment, I really understood what commitment to self is. Because I understood that all those things that I was craving, that I was putting outside of myself, were all things that I wanted for me. And that I could let go of thinking somebody else was going to fulfill that for me and start a path of finding out, how do I bring those things to myself? How do I bring love? How do I bring calm? And so I set about totally cleaning my house, getting rid of a lot of stuff, creating a lot more calmness in my life, in my home space, learning how to nourish myself in a different way. And I recognized that commitment means staying with ourselves through the journey. Because there was a big temptation. Part of me wanted to just push everything down and with my community in the world say, I'm fine, everything's great. And spiritually bypass what I was going through personally. But what I really got is that if I was going to commit to myself, that meant committing to my process of letting go, to my process of grief, to whatever it took for me to heal. And this is true for all of us. Whatever transition that you might be in, whatever change that's happening, whether it's an exciting change or it's a difficult change, the process of transformation can be challenging. And there's different things that arise for each of us. And so we want to commit to our journey, not the journey we think we should have or the journey other people think we should be on. I had people in my community that literally said to me, ah, he's gone, get over it. You should be fine. You're a Toltec, just shift it. And again, the temptation was so strong, right, I should just be able to shift it. And sometimes in our life, we can shift it instantaneously just by putting our attention elsewhere. And sometimes there's things that take longer to unravel. And the big ones, the big transformations in our life, it's not about what we think it's about. I recognized as I was going through my process of letting go of my relationship that it really wasn't my relationship that I was grieving. There was some of that for sure. But it was also things from my childhood, all the moves that I had when I was a kid. There's a lot of untapped grief that I had now gotten to that when I really opened to myself and committed to letting go of what was arising, to clearing it out of the way, that the healing that happened on the other side was profound. And it took a while, but sometimes they do. So stay with yourself. Stay with looking at yourself through the eyes of compassion rather than the eyes of judgment. And asking, what would best serve me? What do I need? What am I craving? And then find ways to give that to yourself or put yourself in situations, find groups, friends, family that can help you to bring that energy in as well. And trust your own inner knowing, which is different than the judge, which sometimes feels very real and very powerful. But the difference is that when you're in judgment, there's always blame, and there's often guilt or shame. That's part of that judge-victim package, because they really go together. You can't have a judge without a victim, can't have a victim without a judge. And we have all of it. And so as we're opening to ourselves, and opening to these voices that are arising inside of us, if we can listen deeper to what we really need, to what's really true for us, not from the point of the judge or the point of the victim, but from our depth, what do we need? And then step forward to meeting our own needs or finding the support system that will hold us through our transitions. So that's real commitment. Again, we're really good at committing to listening to the voice of if I was evolved, if I was a good warrior goddess, if I was a good spiritual person, if I was really healed, then I would be here. I invite you to commit to a deeper voice, to a voice that says, what does this human need now? What will help most in her healing? To keep going towards compassion, presence, love for yourself, knowing that that judge voice will be going, doing whatever it's doing. I like to go, thank you so much for sharing. And now, where do I want to put my attention? What's my commitment really towards? And be gentle with yourself, because we have committed to listening to that judge voice, so many of us, for so long. Or committed to listening to that victim voice. It's not fair. It's not enough. I'll never be able to do it. And so when those voices arise, to just go, I see you, I honor you, and I choose to commit to putting my attention in a deeper place to what this being really needs. One of my first teachers gave me a great metaphor for how we can support ourselves in a new way. So her father was a rocket scientist, and he taught her that heat-seeking missiles are off target 99.5% of the time. I love that. They always reach their target, but they're off target 99.5% of the time. So how is that possible? It's because one, they know where they are. Two, they know where they're going. Boop. And three, they're constantly adjusting. So if you know where you are and you know where you're going, there's going to be times that you're off base, that you're off track. But if you adjust, you'll find your way. When we are committed to listening to our judge and victim voices, what happens is that we go off target. We become aware that we're going off target, and then we go, oh my God, I can't believe I'm off target. What's wrong with me? I read the book. I should know better. And what's happening as we're doing that is that we're continuing to sail off target. And then when we make a correction, often that correction's really mean, pushy, go the other way. And then we're sailing off course a different way. So we end up spending a lot of time comparing ourselves, judging ourselves, being frustrated. So how do we learn to make those transitions more quickly so that the feeling senses, you notice I'm off course. Oh, look, I'm off course. Okay, what do I need? Adjust. That we can adjust more quickly and get where we're going than from a sense of joy. So that the adjustment becomes a joy, the realizing we're off course is a joy. It's all fun. Like, look, I'm off course. Wow, I'm off course in a really good way. What do I want to do? If you can recognize that we're incredibly creative beings, and sometimes our creativity gets put in a direction that doesn't serve us. And so if we can just go, wow, you're off course. You've been doing so good being off course. Good job, sweetie. Okay, let's adjust now. Then everything starts to shift.